Welcome to the Community Fellowship Podcast, your way to stay connected with biblically themed messages, discussions, and interviews from Community Fellowship in East Barnard, Texas. Learn more about our church at the cfeb.church website, check us out on social media at CF East Barnard, or attend an in-person service at 635 Main Street in East Barnard. We are a local church that works to make the love of Christ for all humanity known to our community and the world. Thanks for tuning in and enjoy this week's content.
No, I'm not Pastor James. I'm Pastor Ronald. For those of you who may have not seen me up here before, I can still get in the saddle once in a while, and I'm thankful that Pastor James gave me the opportunity to come forward this morning. He had a busy week, as many of you did, right? Spring break, those of you with kids, you had lots of things going on, I hope, and try to see some of you back, although we're still missing a bunch of folks this morning. Anyway, I am thrilled to be able to bring the message to you this morning. The message is titled After God's Own Heart. So that phrase, I hope, brings something to memory. Who in the Bible was described as a man after God's own heart? Anybody? David. I heard somebody say David. Yes. David was described multiple times in Scripture as a man after God's own heart. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning primarily, but I'm going to apologize up front. You're going to get a sermonette that has not a whole lot to do with David's being a man after God's own heart, and that's going to precede. So this is for extra credit. I've got a little something to squeeze in here. Because, you know, sometimes we can get so intense and so deep down into the particular story of the Bible that we're covering that we neglect to look how it fits into the bigger picture, the whole of Scripture. And I love, those of you who've heard me preach before, you know that I love to highlight just the glory and majesty of this book that God has brought to us through multiple authors over multiple centuries. And it is truly God's story given to us. His story about how much he loves us, what he was willing to do from the very beginning to redeem us and bring you to himself. And so I want to just take a brief time, and I want to look at how this series that the Lord's brought to James's heart to bring to us, how there's some dots that connect them all together to make them a part of this bigger story. So where did James start us at 2 weeks ago? We were on Mount Moriah with Abraham, instructed by God to sacrifice his son Isaac. And what did God do there? He provided a substitute lamb to be sacrificed in Isaac's place. A substitute sacrifice for Isaac on Mount Moriah. Jump forward to last week. Where did James take us last week? He took us to Mount Sinai, where Moses was being given the law. He was up there for 40 days, right? Or at some point, it was, and he got the Ten Commandments, but he got a whole lot more than that. That's why it took 40 days. God was giving him the entire Levitical law, the whole method by which he expected the Hebrew nation to come before him, to worship him, to deal with their sin. And one of the things that was included in that law was the requirement that they observe the Passover annually, which the Passover was what they just experienced the first Passover. That's how they got out of Egypt. The death angel came and took the firstborn of every family, except for those families, particularly those Hebrew families, who sacrificed the Passover lamb and painted the blood of that lamb on their doorposts. That blood was a signal, Passover, this house. So God instituted the Passover as an annual celebration in which they were to, every year, sacrifice a lamb, shed the blood of that lamb, a perfect, unblemished lamb. Once again, we got a lamb being sacrificed. All of these points are pointing forward to what? The Lamb of God, who's Jesus, who would take away the sins of the world. This is all there. And today we're going to talk about David in the city of David, Jerusalem, and he's providing a place where the temple will be built. And what happens at the temple? It's the central place where the Levitical law that was laid out on Mount Sinai ends up being centralized and brought to Jerusalem. Guess where Jerusalem is established? It's established on Mount Moriah. What happened on Mount Moriah? Abraham was to have sacrificed Isaac, a substitute lamb. Guess what? All of this is pointing forward to not the substitute, but the actual Lamb of God who would once and for all. You see, God's plan has been the same from the beginning. He didn't make this stuff as it went up, as it went along. It was all the same plan. It was all designed to bring you and me to Him through Jesus Christ. Okay, that's the sermonette. Let's get on with the sermon. I just like to marvel at Scripture once in a while. Just the way God has put it all together, and so we can see the bigger picture. But today, we're dealing with David, let's go to Acts. Acts chapter 13, verse 22. And there, Saul is in the midst of preaching a sermon, and he had this to say about David. He says, after removing Saul, he, being God, made David their king. God testified concerning him, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. A man after God's own heart. Now, what are some things we know about David? Just anybody. What do we know about David? He slew Goliath, right, with a stone when he was just a youngster. The whole army was scared, and little David comes out with a slingshot, and boom, Goliath's dead. That's pretty impressive. He what? He was a shepherd boy. He was a shepherd boy. While his soldier brothers went to fight, he was just out there guarding the sheep. But it's an important point because God was eventually going to call him to be the shepherd of Israel, to be the king, right? He ultimately became king. He wasn't in the lineage. Saul was the first king of Israel. But what did Saul do? He disobeyed God, and God said, I'm through with you, bud. I got somebody else coming in after you. So let's go to 1 Samuel 13, verses 13 and 14. This is Samuel speaking. It says, you've done a foolish thing. He's talking to Saul. You've done a foolish thing. You have not kept the command the Lord your God gave you. If you had, he would have established your kingdom over Israel for all time. But now your kingdom will not endure. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart and appointed him ruler of his people because you have not kept the Lord's command. And of course, that person was David. David was the man after God's own heart. What else do we know about David? Where's Bathsheba come in? He was not perfect. He was far from perfect. In fact, he committed some pretty serious acts, right? He committed adultery with Bathsheba. He let his eyes wander where they shouldn't have wandered, and he gave in to lust and temptation. And then he wanted to cover it up. How did he do that? He had Bathsheba's husband, Uriah, killed in battle. That's murder. When you arrange for somebody else's death, that's murder. So here we have a man who God calls a man after his own heart committing adultery and murder. There's something doesn't feel exactly right about that, right? it's weird. How does that fit? You know, the thing about David, and so we're going to look at four particular characteristics about David that would make God describe him a man after his own heart. And I think we can learn from those, and we can choose to exhibit those same character traits. And the thing about David, when Nathan the prophet sent by God to confront David of his sin, David immediately confesses, yes, I did those things, I'm wrong. Do with me as you will, Lord. And he accepted the consequences, which the consequences were that his son, being born to Bathsheba, would die. And he did. He died about a week after he was born. David just begged the Lord not to do that. But once it was done, it was done. David gets up, moves on. He accepts that God's consequences, and he moves once again into being God's servant leader. He does that repeatedly in his life. He fails, and then he admits his sin, and he moves on. He accepts the consequences. What's that called? We call it repentance. Right? Repentance. It's seeing your sin. The question today is, do you when you're confronted with your sin, do you admit it? Or do you hide it? Or do you lie about it? Or do you make excuses for it? Or do you do what David did and repent? Say, yes, I am guilty. I wish I hadn't done that, but I did. Lord, help me never to do that again. I accept whatever consequences there are for my having done that. But thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. So, if you're going to be a man or woman after God's own heart, you got to be quick to admit your sin and accept God's consequences and yet move on in service to Him. That's number one. Number two, a man or woman after God's own heart does everything God wants him to do. If we go back to that verse in Acts, I don't know if I've got it in that order there, Michaela, but if you'll go back to that Acts, that first verse we looked at, and you'll see at the end of that verse 22, Acts 13, verse 22, at the end of that verse, there's a phrase there. He will do everything I want him to do. God just called him a man after his own heart. And he goes on to explain, he will do everything I want him to do. David will do everything I want him to do. Now, granted, he did everything God wanted him to do, but he did a few other things that he wasn't supposed to do and got him in trouble, which we got to watch out for that. But if you want to be a man or woman after God's own heart, you too must be willing to do everything God wants you to do. Are you? Are you willing? Or are you more like, please God, just don't ask me to do that. You know, don't send me over there. Don't make me love him or her. You can't really expect me to hand my calendar to you and let you determine what I do. No, gosh, God. You know, at least let me sustain the comfortable lifestyle that I'm used to. Don't make me give away anything that would cause me to give up my lifestyle, Lord. Do you do that? You draw lines? God, I'm your servant. Call me, do whatever, but here's the box I want that to fit in, right? No, David wasn't like that. David was, what God said was true of him. He will do everything I want him to do. And if you want to be a man or woman of God, you need to be willing to do everything God calls you to do. And believe it or not, he is calling you to do things. He is calling you to do things. I don't know what they are. They're specified and they're customized to you and who you are. Number three, a man or woman after God's own heart, like David, shows unrestrained, undignified devotion. Oh, what on earth are you talking about, Pastor? Well, let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 6, and we're going to read a few verses there starting in verse 12. Let's see. I better turn to that because I failed to get the first part of that verse in my notes. So, Second Samuel chapter 6, 12 through 16. You know what? I'll read it from up there. Now, King David was told, "The Lord has blessed the household of Obed-Edom and everything he has because of the ark of God." See, it actually resided there in his house for a period of time. And during the time that it was there, that household was blessed big time. And it was there because they had tried to move it, and, you know, the oxen stumbled, and it was about to fall, and a priest reached out to steady it. That priest died right off the bat. So then they were scared to move it anymore, and they just left it there. All right? So, let's move on with the verse. So David went to bring up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. This is a part of the process of moving the temple worship, the worship that was to take place in the tabernacle, eventually the temple, to Jerusalem. He's bringing the ark. The ark is the central object in the temple. It represents the presence of God. So they're bringing the presence of God to Jerusalem. And let's see how he handles this. When those who were carrying the ark of the Lord had taken six steps, he sacrificed a bull and a fattened calf. Like, one, two, three, four, five, six, stop. We're going to have a barbecue. And when the barbecue's over, we'll keep going. Wearing a linen ephod, David was dancing before the Lord with all his might. Next slide. While he and all Israel were bringing up the ark of the Lord with shouts and the sounds of trumpets, as the ark of the Lord was entering the city of David, Michal, daughter of Saul, and I'll mention also wife of David, Michal, daughter of Saul, watched from a window. And when she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she despised him in her heart. Next slide. Or is that it? No. Yeah. We're going to jump down now to verse 20. When David returned home to bless his household, Michal, daughter of Saul, came out to meet him and said, "How the king of Israel has distinguished himself today, going around half naked in full view of the slave girls of his servants as any vulgar fellow would." This is his wife. Ooh. David said to Michal, "It was before the Lord who chose me rather than your father or anyone from his house when he appointed me ruler over the Lord's people Israel. I will celebrate before the Lord. I will become even more undignified than this, and I will be humiliated in my own eyes. But by these slave girls you spoke of, I will be held in honor." And Michal, daughter of Saul, had no children to the day of her death. Folks, I thought about coming in here half naked dancing this morning, but I only thought about that long, right? I tell you what, if somebody finds the ark and bring, you know, arranges a processional, I'll do that in front of the ark, all right? I promise. Anyway, David held nothing back. This was what his reign was all about. Raising praise to the sovereign Lord who made him king, who is not only making him king, he's making his lineage to be the lineage that the ultimate Lamb of God would come from. Jesus would come through his house and lineage, and he promised him that. Now, he didn't know probably what that meant. We can look back and see what that meant. So, are you willing to be undignified for God? Are you willing to show unrestrained honor and undignified praise? You know, David was perhaps the most powerful, most successful warrior king to have ever lived. But he was willing to put all that honor and dignity aside to give God the worship and praise that he deserved. He stripped off his kingly trappings and danced before the Lord. Can you? Do you put off those human and cultural trappings in favor of unfettered worship? Or are you like Michael, embarrassed? Embarrassed perhaps that, you know, you see your spouse raising your hand in her hand and or his hand in worship. It's like, wish he or she wouldn't do that. That's just embarrassing me. Or praying out loud in a restaurant, or talking to a stranger about Jesus, or talking to your mom and dad about Jesus. That's embarrassing. No, it's not. Not if you're honoring God. If not, if your heart is that heart which God desires it to be, you're willing to face the embarrassment for that, even from those who love you, as David did. If you want to be a man or woman after God's own heart, then like David, get you some undignified, unrestrained devotion. Number four. If you want to be a man or woman after God's own heart, then like David, inquire of the Lord. Inquire of the Lord. That's a phrase repeatedly used in regard to David. So we find the narrative of David's life in 1 and 2 Samuel and 1 and 2 Chronicles and other places. And then, of course, a lot of the Psalms are written by him. We can go there and read prayers. I mean, this man spent a lot of time seeking the Lord. And Scripture has these types of phrases. He says, the Scripture says, David inquired of the Lord. David sought the Lord. David went in and sat before the Lord. He sought the face of the Lord. He called on the Lord. David prayed to the Lord. David pleaded with the Lord. And we could go on. This is David. If someone were to write the narrative of your life, would any of those phrases be part of that narrative? Would anybody use those phrases when they're writing your story out? Do you inquire of the Lord? Do you seek His face? Do you go in and sit before the Lord? Do you even have a place that you go to be with the Lord? Do you plead with Him? Do you pray to Him? Does He get the attention from you that says, "Here I am, Lord. Do with me as you please"? If you're going to be a man or woman after God's own heart, then like David, you're going to have to spend much time in God's presence, submitting to Him, giving Him your calendar, giving Him your goods, your material goods, your time, your life. That's what David did. And that's what made him a man after God's own heart. And that's what will make you and me men and women after God's own heart. David was a severely flawed human being. He did much that he should not have done. But despite all that, God called him a man after his own heart. And God used him mightily, so mightily that Jesus Christ came from his lineage. Your past sin need not disqualify you any more than David's sin disqualified him. In fact, your past sin should make you appreciate all the more what God wants to do in you, to change your heart, to make you a man or woman of God. I'm going to just kind of give you some four, instead of trying to remember all four of those items in the longer form, I'm going to give you a word for each one, all right? Repent. Repent. Be quick to admit and repent. Turn from your sin. The second one is obey. Do everything God wants you to do. No restrictions, no limits, no boundaries. Number three is praise. Give God your praise. He deserves it. Don't be embarrassed. He deserves... We don't really expect you to come in here half naked next Sunday, dancing before the Lord. But if that's something he calls you to do, we'll deal with it, all right? Number four, pray. Pray. Spend much time inquiring of him in prayer, submitting your life, your whole life, no reservations to him. I want to be a man after God's own heart. Do you want to be a man or woman after God's own heart? You can be. I can be. I don't feel like I've arrived at that yet. In fact, there are some things that I know. I mean, it gives me great pause to get up here. I mean, I think of the sinfulness that still resides in my heart. But I'm gonna wake up every day, and I'm going to try to be more like these things that made David a man after God's own heart. And by golly, when I'm resurrected after death and go to, you know what? I will be a man after God's own heart, because all that filth is gone at that point, and we get to praise Jesus unfettered in undignified ways. They'll be dignified in heaven. By heaven itself. And I hope that you will look forward to that day with me. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, I know this can be overwhelming for folks. Four big things to remember, to try and do. But really, I just pray, Lord, that you'd place on the heart of each individual here at least one of those things that they commit to, in leaving here today, to improving in, whether that be to repent of those sins that you're laying before them and pointing out in their life now, or to obey and do that thing that you're calling them to do right now, or to just simply revel in praise before you, but Lord, to at all times pray to submit themselves always to you. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this gospel story that begins in Genesis 1 and continues today, that you're enabling us to be a part of that story, to play a part in bringing that gospel to others. And we want to honor that by having hearts for you, hearts that are after your own heart. We ask this in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen.
If you have questions about this week's message or would like to start a conversation with someone about what it means to walk with Christ, please email pastor@cfeb.church. You can find earlier episodes of our podcast on our website at cfeb.church, where you can also give online to help support Community Fellowship in our mission to reflect and share Christ's love. We can also be found on many major distribution platforms like Apple Podcasts, where you can subscribe to stay connected. Thank you again for listening. Now go out and love one another like Jesus did.